The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have asked for added strength, new courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on. Just take Him as His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. With arms wide open, He'll what God can do.
Thank you.
I was listening to Jamie's sermon from last week, and when he introduced himself, he said, "Hey, I'm John Goldwater, but I lost a couple hundred pounds doing CrossFit." I'd like to introduce myself and say, you know, I'm Jamie Harrison. I quit going to CrossFit. I done gained 200 pounds this last week. See, that's how influential it is, you know. And with that being said, I'd just like to say hi to everybody. Glad that you're here. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And so I'm saying that early, just kind of keep that in mind. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a serious time. Everybody's going to be in here, all family, all kids, everything like that. That don't mean it's not that we can't have joy. Y'all, you know, one of the things churches have done is they suck the joy out of serious things, and that's not right. When we think about what Christ has done for us, we ought to have an amount of joy. Now, we take it serious because it's important, but boy, we ought to have joy in it. And sometimes joyful noises will rise up from our little ones especially. And instead of allowing that to distract us, we ought to say, thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for these little ones being here. Okay? So I just kind of give you that heads up. But we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and so glad to see everybody. I'm glad to be back here preaching, back home preaching at Christ Community Church. I feel good, glad to be here, and I'm going to pray for us right now. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, that we have the ability to come here speaking on serious things but be filled with joy. Lord Jesus, you're the one who told us that you want our joy to be full. You're the one who offered your joy to us. So as we consider what you've done for us, help us to celebrate in a serious mind but a joyful spirit. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everyone, all the families, all the children, everybody who's here today, visitors, friends, guests, and family. We love them all. We thank you for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This song will calm down the time to worship. Y'all stand with us. Let's worship our Lord this morning.
Time to worship. Come. to your heart.
True.
country beat to them old hymn songs. They haven't learned that. They didn't grow up like a lot of us did. Country's just in my blood, that beat that you got on the guitar. This is about it, and this is the blood, broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion, we share in His love. This is a body, and this is a blood. Well, I will remember everything, Lord, that You've done for me. I won't take for granted the sacrifice that set me free. I hunger and thirst for You, Lord. Come fill me today. This is a body, and this is a blood, broken and poured out for all of us.
Y'all, we have the Lord's Supper today. And one of the things I love about the ministry at Christ Community Church is we're not going to focus on anything else. We're going to focus on having the Lord's Supper today. It's in these symbols that Christ gave us that we're reminded of how much He loves us, how deep, how much an investment He makes in us. And I'm going to share just a short passage of Scripture, and then we're going to share that supper together. I always like to call it celebrating the Lord's Supper. And that idea of celebrating means, again, it's an important thing, it's a serious thing, but don't ever miss this, it's a joyful thing. You know, we can be saved and happy because of what Christ has done for us. When we come to understand what He's done for us on the cross, all the barriers to joy, to service, to peace, they all get stripped away in the cross. Listen to this word, Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray together. Father, would You take this word and this moment? There's a holy hush right now. Father, thank You for that. And we just want to come and say we stand in awe of how much You love us and how You invested Your Son to save us. Not because we're worthy. Not because we have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and we're all good boys and good girls and we all have the right clothes on in the right time in the right place from the right neighborhood with the right school and the right pedigree. That's not us. Father, thank You for loving those who are unlovable, unreachable, sinful. Those of us like me who couldn't be saved except by grace. Thank You, Father. As we look at this, would You help us to come to an end of all our effort to serve You in our strength or to be right and acceptable by our own right? Would You bring an end to those things in the cross today? We love You. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I really do pray that God will give some freedom here today. That through the cross, the message of the cross, that there will be some Christian people here today who will find a new freedom, a new joy, a new ability to enjoy the relationship and the salvation God provided for us. Because I'm going to tell you, as a group, Christians are often not a fun group of people. Saved and sad. Saved and scared. Scared of what's going on around them, scared of not being enough, scared of they're not doing the right thing in the right way, or their kids aren't doing the right thing in the right way, or their grandkids aren't doing the right thing in the right way. And we have all these worries. It's almost as if I wish Jesus would have said, hey, don't worry. Wait a minute. I think He said something like that. You know, I wish at some point we would embrace the cross so deeply in our soul that we would say, God's got me. Not that I got this, but God's got me. I may not have this, whatever this is. I may drop it, fail, fall, I don't know. But God's got me. That I know. There's a peace that comes from knowing that God has got you. Not just the things you do. We act as if we're kind of slaves or machines that God created just to serve Him in a, you know, just some kind of plastic, formal, vocational way. But He created us with His hands out of the dust, and He breathed life into us that man might become a living being. And He formed woman that we might be together, and He created us to have a relationship with us, to know us personally. Not just to offer Him things. Well, I give my tithe and I show up at church and I do these things. I tell you, I got to preach a whole bunch in the last 14 days. I preached a bunch. And it's been really, really awesome. But can I tell you a moment I had that was a proud moment? If I can have a proud moment. I was listening to the CD from last Sunday when Jamie Harrison was preaching. You know what he preached? He preached on grace and not doing things because you got to make God love you, but doing things because God loves you and you get to. And being the pastor who wasn't here and hearing grace preached at the pulpit at Christ Community Church made my heart get big and say, yes, that's it. That's the message. And whether I'm here or I'm not here, let Christ be preached. Let the gospel of grace be brought and lifted up on high. That's the it. That's the message. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. So we can have the little guy like last week, skinny. Or we can have the big guy like this week, filling up the whole area. It doesn't matter. The message is still the same. It's Christ on the cross and how he loves us. And so what I hope is that some people would come, just like Paul, as he shares in this letter. Sharing to a group of people, by the way, who had gotten caught up with trying to earn their salvation or pay back God somehow through obeying the law and being good boys and girls, and they started condemning one another. They started condemning each other and condemning themselves and trying to find a way they could do it on their own or through some other teacher or some other way. And Paul has to bring them back to the cross and say, y'all, don't ever forget the cross. You've gone too far from the cross. Reel it back in. Let's remember who it is that saved us and how it is that he saved us. It wasn't through our works. So listen to this. Just real briefly, when I think of the cross is an end. The cross of Christ ended his life, right? That's where his life ended on earth, right? It ended there. He died on the cross. The cross is a death instrument. When we come to Christ on the cross, we ought to say, look, something in me needs to die. And I bet you there's people in here, you have some things in your life that need to die. Can I suggest some things? Can I suggest that you stop the way of self-condemnation? You know, the devil doesn't have to accuse you day and night. You're doing it for him. A lot of folks here say, well, I can't forgive myself. I can't let this go. And it's like, what is it that you think is lacking in the cross that can't take that away from you? What is it that you won't let go of that Christ came and said, here, put it on my shoulders. You're like, no, not this. It wouldn't be responsible. It wouldn't be right because I really blew it. I'm just going to give you my nice respectable sins. You know, the ones where maybe I was mistaken just a little bit. I was off just a little bit. But these ones, these things that I knew I was doing wrong and I blew it. I'm going to beat myself up with these things forever. I'm going to take a failed marriage, use it as a whip, and beat myself until eternity comes because I won't give that to the cross. I'm going to take the hardships of parenting and all the mistakes and all the things I said wrong, and I'm going to beat myself with these whips because I can't give those away. I'm going to tell you something. Christ will take those too. And it's time for us to stop condemning ourselves as if it makes us holy, as if it makes us good. Stop it. There is a condemner and an accuser of the brethren. His name is Satan. We don't want to say what he's saying. We don't want to echo the same things and keep bringing our sins up. I heard somebody say this. They had a conversation with Jesus. And they said, Lord, what was my greatest and most terrible sin? And Jesus looked at him and he stopped and he said, you know what? I don't remember. It's gone. The Old Testament says he'll take the sins of his people and put it in a sea of forgetfulness. It's gone. He's going to forgive us as far as the east. East is that way. To the west. East and west don't ever meet again. It's gone. Can you think of anything more beautiful and freeing? Your sin, your guilt, your shame, your foolish stupidity and mine are gone when we come to the cross. Your lust, your failures, your betrayals, it's gone when we come to the cross. Do y'all get that? Do you get what Christ has done for you? I've come to an end of the law. I don't need to judge myself by it anymore. I've been freed by Christ. Can I tell you something else? Other people have been freed by Christ too. Other people have been freed by Christ too. When they come in and we see them not doing the job with their kids that they should be doing, and we start pointing the finger and we start judging people on, well, I just can't believe it. I can't believe they're going through those things. I can't believe that they would happen to them. I can't believe, oh, and we're not just wide open to accept anybody and everybody in this place. What have we become? How come we won't let other people come to the cross? How come we won't let other people receive grace? How come it is we receive grace and as we mature in Christ, it's almost like we're saying, hey, I came by Christ, but you better work hard to get here, buddy. You know, hey, it's all about grace, but you're so blowing it. Blowing grace. Imagine that. You just messed it up. You just totally messed up grace. No. It doesn't happen that way. If you receive grace, remember, it's God's idea to offer it. You can't mess it up. He's given it to you. He's offered it because we're mess ups. So he says, here, this grace, take it. It's a gift. I bought it. I paid for it. I give it to you. It's for you. And we need to let other people receive it too. I know. Let me just, back in the day, back when Galatians was written, the Apostle Paul had to warn them not to eat each other up. Not to devour one another. Not provoking one another. Not talking bad about one another from a conceited place. Aren't you glad in the church of God we don't have to do that? Aren't you glad that that problem's been dealt with in the church? And there's no backbiting and no gossiping and no anybody talking people down and nobody just being negative and just over. Aren't you glad that all those things are past? Oh, the first church had to endure all those new Christians who just didn't know that grace was applied to everybody who believed, and you can accept one another in grace the same way God accepts you in grace. They didn't know that. I'm so glad we know that. I'm so glad that in the church today we don't have any kind of problems like that. Amen? Uh-oh. Like, uh-oh. Brother John, maybe you didn't know. Man, we embrace the cross. Not only can we stop judging ourselves, but we can stop judging other people. Let me ask you, for those who judge others, wouldn't it make you feel better just to accept them in love? Don't you think it would help your acceptance in Christ if you didn't feel like you had to judge people all the time? You might say, who do you think it is? I don't know. I'm just asking you. You know. Don't you think? I know when I come into a group, I hate to think bad things of this person, that person, these things. It takes an effort sometimes to say, let me understand them via the cross. Let me understand them by grace, not by things that they've messed up or goofed up or their past or their history. We all have a history. Don't you think you'd feel better even about yourself if you let other people just embrace the cross? Oh, I think it makes for a joy. It makes for us all to stand together. Oh, let me tell you something else. Well, this brings an end to, when we come to the cross, it brings an end to judgment. Self-judgment, judgment against others, it just brings an end to it. We bring it all back to the cross, bring it all back to the Lord. Do you think the Lord's ever going to be mocked? We always seem worried about that. They're just taking advantage of Jesus. Oh, because Jesus is blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. Poor, crippled up, blind Jesus. Doesn't know who's coming and who's going. Ain't nobody going to take advantage of Jesus. Not listen to me. Not now and not ever. Nobody is going to take advantage of Jesus Christ. He has got it under control. You bring it to him. You bring them to him. And they can't take advantage of him. They can't. He's not going to be mocked. He's not ever going to be mocked. When I think of how we try to work our lives without Christ, without the cross, here's some things that I think we got to come to an end to also. Remember, I told you at the cross, things die. That attitude that you can do it yourself, when it comes to this Christian walk, that needs to die. I mean, you can use your will, you can employ your gifts, but can I tell you something? You can't do it. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, he was a man. He didn't have a family. He spent his time focused on God. He was a missionary, preaching pastor, prophet, evangelist, Bible book writing, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, I had to be crucified with Christ. All my self-effort, I had to count as nothing and set it aside and allow the righteousness that comes through God by faith in Christ to be in me. We try to do it ourselves. You can't. You won't. You'll never get there. You can't fix you. Just like your car can't fix itself. We need to come to the cross with the problems that we have. We need to lose our pride, let it die, and come to the cross. In our world, what we see is people offer up, not only I can do it myself, but they offer up this. Something or someone else can do it. The world still flirts with many ways to God. The world still thinks and hopes that there's just a God up there somewhere who's mysteriously going to make things right at the end. And they totally bypass the cross. They totally say, no, the cross is just one good thing of many other good things. Can I tell you who else's philosophy that was? You remember in Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4, Satan is trying to get Jesus to show everybody he's the Son of God by doing miracles and just bowing down and worshiping him. He's trying to get him to avoid the cross. Peter tried to get Jesus to avoid the cross. There's got to be another way. Peter said to Jesus, no way. Lord, you're not going to the cross. Do you remember what Jesus told him? You're right, man. He was like, thank you, dude. Because that cross is such a downer, man. I didn't want to do that. High five, Peter. We'll go and do our thing. Is that what Jesus said to Peter when Peter said, you don't have to go to the cross? What did he say to him? Get behind me. Who? There is a satanic plan to get us away from the cross, to keep us from coming to the cross and fully trusting in Christ. It's been that way from the very beginning, trying to avoid the cross, trying to stay away from it. Y'all, we're not those who stay away. We're not those who flirt with another way or somebody else that's stronger. We come to God and say, God, we're going to take your way. We're going to stand with Jesus. Do y'all stand with him? You don't have to answer out loud. Just answer in your heart. Do you worship Jesus Christ? Have you come to the place that he's the one and the only who can help you, who can save you, who can lead you? Have you come to the place where you've said, I will only yield my spirit to Christ. I will only yield my heart to him. I'm done yielding myself to all these temptations. I'm done yielding myself to all this judgment and worry. I'm done. I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to yield myself to him. I'm not going to yield myself to a Muhammad. I'm not going to yield myself to a Buddha. I'm not going to yield myself to an atheism that just hopes everything's going to turn out okay in the end. I'm not going to turn myself over to a complacent Christianity in name only that thinks Jesus is a good teacher but not really the Son of God, not really the risen Savior. He's just somebody who came on the scene and said some good things. I'm not going to yield to those things. I'm going to embrace the cross of Christ and say, I worship you. I worship Christ. To try to find any other way, to proclaim any other way, to teach any other way, to suggest any other way to God but Christ, is to take his life as if it was a vain, worthless, meaningless sacrifice. Verse 21 says, if righteousness comes through the law, if righteousness of God comes through any way besides Christ on the cross, then Christ died in vain. If I could yell at y'all, and I feel like I'm yelling at y'all, I'm sorry. If I could yell at you all until you reformed, or if y'all could yell at me until I reformed my way, and I really could become a spirit-filled, walking the Lord Christian just by y'all judging me according to the do's and don'ts of the law, and I reformed and I became that, then why did Christ need to die? He did it. If God's just going to give the nod to everybody at the end, and all good dogs go to heaven. I'm not talking about dogs, but people, but just, you know, the title, right? Anyway. Then why did Christ die? If there's many ways, you know, the Buddhist way doesn't involve any death.
Why wouldn't we just take that way? It's a crossless, bloodless, deathless way. Well, because it's not the way. Christ died in vain. If I can do keep up five pillars and say some kind of prayer about who God is and who his prophet is, and then I'm good to go, or commit some heinous act of violence and be good to go, then why did Christ die for me? Y'all, we got to square with this. Christ did not die in vain. The grace of God has not been given in vain. If you worship Jesus Christ, I invite you to this table. I don't know what this thing's going to do, Jamie, so watch me as we go. If you worship him, if you say, my hope is in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, I invite you to this table. If you're here this morning, you're like, dude, I don't know. You can be here and not know. You're welcome here. Everyone is welcome here. This is the church that Christ bought with his blood. You're welcome here. But if you don't know, let me ask you this. Why don't you ask him today? Why don't you take time? We're going to have time here in just a minute. Why don't you take time and just ask him, Lord, what would you have me do? Would you have me to give you my life? Would you have me to surrender my life to Christ? Would you have me to trust you? Why don't you just ask him if you're undecided? If you're still undecided after that, why don't you ask who you're going to trust? I'm not asking for your trust, for me. I'm asking about Christ. Will you trust him? Who will you put next to Christ and say that one is just as trustworthy or more than Jesus Christ? Is there any that you know of? Search your heart. You search your mind. And if you can find none other, I invite you right then and there, pray, give your life to Christ. Just say, Lord, I give you my life, sin and all. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead, and I give you my life. In those verses that I read, it describes a life. And I'm just going to give you three words I use to describe the life. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ, there's the first word, lives in me, living that Christ life. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That's the second word that describes that life that he gives us when we meet him at the cross. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That third word, that third description is love. I'm going to tell you, you want to live the loved life? Faith in the Son of God who loved me. Oh, to know at every step and every moment and every circumstance that you take in this life that you are loved. Hey, youngins. We got a big group of youngins back. It's so cool. Glad that y'all are back. Jesus loves you. God loves you, and he's never going to quit. He's made his love sure. That's what the cross is about. He's just done it. Okay? Let's pray. If you have any business to do with God, now's the time. All right? Let's pray right now. Father God, we're just going to take this moment, and we're going to ask, Father, that you'd reveal to us who we are in you. And that you, Father, would draw us near the cross. Oh, Lord, won't you just help us? Help us to love you. Help us to be loved by you. To be cleansed by you. To be embraced by you. Father, would you tell us right now where we are with you? If we're a worshiper or if we are still in that place where we need to surrender our lives. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just take this moment. They're going to just sing through one part of the song. Take this moment and say, am I ready to identify with Christ up at the table? Am I a Christ worshiper? Take this moment now.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come hail. Earth has no sorrow.
for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure.
Right to come just as we are is paid for by Christ. On the night when he was betrayed, on the night they took him and imprisoned him and tried him. Before that, he celebrated the Passover supper with his disciples, and he said to them, when they took the bread, he broke it and he blessed it, and he said, y'all take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Let's pray. Father God, right now we remember the body of Christ that was broken for us, for our benefit, for our salvation, by your love and grace, and we give you thanks and praise for it. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the same night, he took the cup after supper. The cup after supper represented the redemption that God was going to provide for his people, the redemption that he provided in the Red Sea crossing and the Exodus. But Christ took it and said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood. And I'm going to tell you, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's an unending power. There's a power to save everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, where they've been. The blood of Christ is our agreement with God. Father God, thank you for loving us. And we pray and we remember that the blood of Christ sets us free. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to serve my friends here who are helping me, and we're going to invite y'all to just come on up down these aisles. You'll come to the bread, then you'll come to the juice, and after you take them, just discard the cup right there in those little baskets on either side and kind of roll back to your seat, and we'll be close to finishing after that. This is a time when we do, like I said, it's a celebration. It really is, because we know what it is, but this is the serious time too, okay? Just flat out coming down to say it's all about Jesus. It's not about anybody or anything else. It's all about him. I'm going to ask if our ushers would come forward now to take the morning offering. And as they come, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together in the name of Jesus and just recognize who you are and what you've done for us. We give you all the praise because you did all the saving. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of stuff going on at Christ Community Church this Wednesday. So a lot of it's revolving around prayer. We're having a kind of a prayer kickoff, Wednesday bash cookout thing for our youngins. It's the day before they go back to school, okay? And we want to pray for them, so y'all gather up. But also, there's been an effort made by Suzanne Schmitz and some other and our kiddos to make prayer banners that we're going to give to our law enforcement officers here in Grenada. And so we've invited them to come Wednesday also. So if you will, just come on. And it's going to be a prayerful time. It's going to be a good time. Immediately following, after we dismiss the service, I'm going to go and stand by the door. I'm going to say bye to everybody, like hi, bye, high five, good to see you, all those things that pastors do. Now I'm coming back up front. I just have felt like there's been a lot of folks. We're just going to have a prayer for healing. Okay, there's been a lot of people who have either been in accidents or have been newly diagnosed with things and all this stuff. And so if you don't have to be in that boat, maybe you know somebody in that boat. And you just want to, or you just want to be somebody who's praying. About in 5 minutes after the service is over, we're going to gather up here and we're just going to do what the Bible says. I got some oil. We're going to anoint with oil and we're going to pray that God would do a healing work. Okay, it's all in His hands. We're just going to pray. It's all up to Him. Okay. Can't think of anything else to say except for I love y'all and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be at Christ Community Church, to preach your word, to lift up the cross of Christ. And Lord, you do your work of saving, your work of healing, your work of filling your servants with boldness that we might proclaim your ways. Do all those things, Lord. We love you. We give you all the glory. Again, thank you for today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.